one of my favorite times of the week, is with us once again. It's time for Latin Roots, where we explore different genres of Latin music. And we have a new guest today. Judy Contra-Navas is here. She writes about Latin music for Billboard magazine. And when we talked to Judy about what she would like to do, she immediately said she wanted to do timba, which is a relatively new genre from Cuba. And Judy, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about timba. When did timba arise?
Well, timba really started cooking, I would say, in the 80s, and it really reached its peak in the 1990s. Timba was a music that really could only belong to a generation of musicians that came of age under the revolution, because they were classically trained, they had been to the conservatory. They were also great jazz players. They were also schooled in the streets in popular Cuban music, the rumba and other rhythms and everything from the history of Cuban music. So they really were setting out to experiment and to, you know, create new contemporary Cuban music. And one of those forms that developed was timba, which is a contemporary Cuban dance music, which sometimes it's called Cuban salsa, but it is not salsa as we know it. It's really a very explosive kind of music. It's very polyrhythmic. And they're taking things like jazz, they're taking religious-rooted music like rumba, and they're putting it all together. And it's really it's a furious kind of sound, but it really carries you away.
And did it have a big life as a recorded music or as live music?
Well, it definitely, I would say, you know, it is music that some music is just better live, you know, no matter what, you know, your technology of the studio. And timba is really developed as live music, and it developed in Havana in front of live audiences. Like, even let me tell you about our first song, La Expresiva, by N.A.J. La Banda. Now, N.A.J. La Banda and its founder, Jose Luis Cortez, are kind of credited with starting timba music. And Jose Luis Cortez came out of the group Iraquere, the great Cuban jazz group, where we started to hear the beginnings of what would be timba. He also played with Los Van Van, he plays the flute. And when he started to develop what he would call timba, they would do little tours of all of the neighborhoods. I mean, basically, they just went out and played in the street. So that was really the beginning of this phenomenon, that they would play in the street, they would see what the dancers were responding to, and go from there.
And what is the song we're going to hear?
It's called La Expresiva, kind of talking about, you know, these tours of the neighborhoods that they would do. This particular song kind of name checks all of these different Cuban neighborhoods. So it's, you know, it's really a song of the people. It's a song for Cuban pride. And it's just an amazing classic, you know, contemporary Cuban song.
An early example of timba music from Cuba, N.A.J. La Banda with La Expresiva, a song specifically talking about various hoods in Cuba. And we're talking with Judy Contra-Navas about this music. You talked about some of those small tours. Did timba get big? I mean, were there big concerts?
Well, yes. I mean, the live concerts really grew. And by the mid-1990s in Havana, you could go out pretty much any night of the week. everything from, you know, the small clubs in the hotels, there would be bands. But really the remarkable thing was that there were venues where, you know, any Cuban could go. And you could go, for example, to a place called the Tropical, which is an amazing outdoor venue. And people would just coming and crushing in there, and it was just such an amazing, sweaty scene. I mean, you could have 6,000 people in there, you know, on a Monday night. It just became huge, and it really became just a really needed outlet for young people to express themselves, to really, you know, you kind of had this feeling that Havana was just exploding, and this music was really a way for them to break out, to speak out, and they were doing that under the guise of this dance music.
So, Judy, tell me a little bit about this next group we're going to hear.
They are La Charanga Habanera. And this was a younger band. You know, by now, I'm talking about 1994, so the whole timba movement had really gained speed, and whereas N.A.J. La Banda remained, I don't know if I want to say intellectual, but, you know, they kind of stayed away from the vulgarity. And Charanga Habanera was really doing things that maybe weren't being done before. Like, there was, you know, the whole timba movement is identified really with a very kind of dirty dancing style that I think people really hadn't seen in Cuba in public places like this before. And there was, of course, a reaction to that. La Charanga Habanera, they were censored often, and they actually were penalized because they went on a TV program and they were doing some very, you know, dirty movements. And I think there was, I'm not sure, but they said that one of them pulled down his pants and, you know, this whole thing. So they were, for 6 months, they weren't allowed to perform. So, yes. So at that time, there were some clashes, you know, with the government saying, or, you know, the Cuban Music Institute stepping in and saying, look, you know, we do have to have some word over what can be said, what can't be said, the movements you guys are doing, because you have to show a good example for the youth. Maybe you went from kind of an itching for new things to kind of a real rebellion, you know, a controlled rebellion within this music and the concerts that a band like Charanga Habanera, who was one of many timba bands at the time, but really around this time in the mid-late 90s, the most popular.
And what do you want to play from them?
The song is called Hey You Loca. So, you know, this is really also shows their musicianship, their kind of aggressive approach to things, but, you know, also their lyrics, which started to get a little more, you know, international. Now you started to have more tourism coming into Havana, and they were also able to travel more, not necessarily to the United States yet, but to Europe. And so they did have more influences. So, you know, like using the English words was something that was starting to become more natural, or that they thought was cool, you know, hey, you loca, you know, instead of just having it in Spanish.
Con esa negra, caballero, yo no me incomodo y me gusta, me cae muy bien, me encanta, vamos, no sé por qué.
La Charanga Habanera with Hey You Loca, another pick of timba music from the mid-90s from our guest today. Judy Cantor Navas is with us, and we're talking about timba. And normally on Latin Roots, we play a couple of tracks, but you wanted to bring us up to date.
Yes, we're going to hear Alexander Abreu and Havana de Primera. And this is a group that actually they're on tour right now in the United States. Eventually, what happened with timba, it really had its huge, huge peak, I'd say around, you know, 1997, 1998. And then reggaeton, which came from Puerto Rico and then had such a huge, you know, really, really blew up in the United States and other places internationally. It had a huge influence in Cuba. So musicians started, you know, trying to get more into reggaeton because that was what the young people wanted to hear. Timba kind of took a back seat. Also, what happened was a lot of these timba musicians started to get opportunities from international labels saying, hey, you know, we'll sign you, you can move to Miami, or they just started to leave on their own. Like often they'd go on tour and then they would just defect. And so the movement really died down. And it kind of just, I wouldn't say it ever disappeared completely, but, you know, you didn't really hear much about it for a long time. And then, in the last few years, some bands, like Havana de Primera, have come back and said, timba is really great music, and it's our music, it's Cuban music. You know, it's not coming from abroad like some other kinds of music have lately, now that Cuba is more open. Anyway, so in this song, which is called Resumen de los Noventas, like a summary of the 90s, a synopsis of the 90s, and I think the first line of the song, he says, Vamos a recordar cuando toda La Habana cantaba. Let's remember when everybody in Havana sang.
Well, there you go, a kind of Judy, I'm sort of paraphrasing you here, but kind of a nostalgic look at timba from Havana de Primera, Resumen de los Noventa. What has happened to the music since then? Is it still going strong?
It still is going strong. I mean, timba has never died. I mean, I think it's a preferred music of the actual musicians. It's remained popular in places like Italy, it has a big following, and also in the United States among people who kind of like a harder salsa sound, and Cubans themselves, who are these big communities of Cubans in Miami and elsewhere living in the United States. One thing that happened with timba and why it never really found a massive audience among Latin music listeners outside of Cuba, which I think that a lot of people thought that was going to happen, that it was going to become as huge as reggaeton. I mean, this was before reggaeton, but I think some people think this should have been, you know, the reggaeton. But it was not easy to dance to for people living outside of Cuba. It's not salsa. It doesn't have the same rhythm. It's a more complex rhythm. And so when people tried to do like kind of the salsa partner dancing to timba, that didn't work. And so that was one reason why it had failed. But it still maintains its popularity among its, you know, it has its following. And it's a very Cuban music, and I think that's why musicians in Cuba now kind of want to return to it.
Timba, sort of the 20-plus year history of the genre from Cuba. Thanks to Judy Cantor Navas, our guest today. Judy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Latin Roots will be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.